Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me." He said, "They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'm sharing a message on lively stones. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 4 and 5. I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 2 starting in verse 4. "To whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Verse 5. "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." To be a holy priesthood, you have to be without any contamination. You can do this by being led and controlled by the Spirit. The only way you can please God is to do the works He planned for your life. If you try to do this without making Jesus Lord, then you will not succeed. Peter uses the same Greek word for living in verse 4, referring to Christ, as the word lively in verse 5. Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. This is Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 13. "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Do not deceive yourself that you can still use your mind to make decisions and be called a living stone. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." The word acceptable in Strong's is number 2101. It comes from other words, which means fully agreeable, acceptable, well-pleasing. Good is the enemy of best. God's best is for you to grow up spiritually, no matter what you're going through. This is far more important than doing something good in Jesus' name. Peter was writing to the elect, or those chosen to be like Christ, through repentance and chastening. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, I'm reading. This is 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 1. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." Verse 2. "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." You need grace and peace in abundance on the narrow way. The trials that the Holy Spirit is directing are pleasing to Him. He will tell you what to do and how to act. If God leads you into a situation, then He will lead you out. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. This is Galatians chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 7. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. For he that sows unto his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. If you have reacted in the flesh, repent. God can use any situation if you humble yourself. You might also be in a situation that is unjust, but submit to God and depend on God. Be prepared to do anything God says. Follow Him and do the works that show Him that you love Him and His Word. Your aim is to grow up in a love relationship and please Him by obeying the Spirit and experience God's best from every situation. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, I'm reading Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Those who've made Jesus Lord have grown up spiritually by following Him. Stones do not easily react or get blown away. You should be unresponsive to this world and always be in a state of transformation continuously. Consistently obeying the truth revealed by the Spirit will give you a solid foundation. James said in James chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, I'm reading. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Of His own He begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You are rooted in Christ by working on your motive and attitude. His love in you holds everything in place. It stops you from reacting in the flesh. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. Verse 5, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinks no evil. Verse 6, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Verse 7, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 8, charity never fails, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. The word charity in Strong's is number 26. It comes from the word love, that is affection or benevolence, specifically a love feast, a feast of charity or dear love. For more information on how you can have an effective supply of His love for your own needs, and have enough left over others, read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. Each truth you know in your head has to go deeper until it's established in your heart. Through your relationship with Him, you can endure this process. All your needs for love are met in Christ so that you don't get in the flesh even when you're under pressure. We are not like the world trying to get some self-worth. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. This is Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 5. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 6. to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. When the same difficulties come again, you will not react. You will stand with all those who have a love relationship with God. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, volume 1, on Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 1, on pages 15 and 16, Joseph Hedgecott says, it is time to go back to the first works. I strongly encourage you to read this book as if you are starting over. Even if you are a seasoned, mature minister, go back and make sure the first works are established in you. Remember that your trust in Jesus is directly proportional to the level that you have fallen in love with him and know him. When you love him unconditionally, you will acknowledge him in all your ways and obey him because you trust him with all your heart. You only trust God to the level that you love him. False leaders will not tell you to acknowledge God in all your ways. Some top charismatic leaders have already said, God gave you a brain, he expects you to use it. This is a lie. One pastor on the Broadway tried to tell me that I did not need to ask God everything. Instead, he said, you just learn how to pray. God, direct my paths in Jesus' name. This leader was also supposed to be spirit-filled. He will direct your paths if you are trusting God like a little child. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 23. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 20. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The right fruit does not come from those following doctrines, methods, or using prayers of deliverance trying to overcome sin. Beware of those telling you to do something when they are not actively following Christ themselves. Those who are truly wise are denying themselves daily. Jesus is coming soon, and those on the Broadway are going to get left behind. There are three roads you can be on. Number one, the narrow way. Number two, the broad way. And number three, the obviously evil life of sin. For more information on the three roads, please refer to chapter 6, Three Roads, Which One, in the book Sound Doctrine by Joseph Hedgecock. Those in the world are doing what they want and do not care about the consequences of sin. They have a conscience and the written word to help them, but they don't want to listen. Those who are born again should be on the narrow way, following Christ, keeping to the paths he has chosen for them. However, they don't want to listen to the word of truth either. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. This is 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. His truth is uncontaminated, like pure milk. Even if you are a seasoned saint or mature, you always look at the basics to make sure you have not come off the narrow way. It's not what you think you know that is working effectively in your life. It's what you can do under pressure that you really know, up to that level of pressure that you have been tempted. We read in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. I'm reading Proverbs chapter 14, starting in verse 12. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. In the Amplified Bible, Proverbs 14, verse 14 says, the backslider in heart from God and from fearing God shall be filled with the fruit of his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied with the fruit of his ways, with the holy thoughts and actions which his heart prompts and in which he delights. If you are a living stone, you are dead to this world and alive to God, controlled by his thoughts and actions. You are buried with Christ, living by faith in whatever he tells you to do next. The kingdom of God has been on earth for nearly 2,000 years, and the priority for man is just to obey his spirit. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In the Amplified Bible, Philippians 2:12 says, therefore, my dear ones, as you've always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I'm absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe, and trembling, self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidity, shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Those on the narrow path are using the grace and the precious promises of God to obey and overcome temptation. It will become clearer and clearer who is listening to the right voice based on the fruit of the Spirit in these last days. We read in the book of Amos, chapter 8. I'm reading verses 11 to 14. This is Amos, chapter 8, starting in verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Verse 12. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro, to seek the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it. Verse 13. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Verse 14. And they that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manner of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. Since the day of Pentecost, there has been a famine in the hearing of God's word. However, God is not the problem. Those in the body of Christ have to become spiritual first. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Never listen to conspiracy theories. You are not interested in the latest news on social media. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verses 40 and 41, This is Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You have to save yourselves from this modern generation too. The Jews back then were highly educated, including all their rabbis, and they did not recognize the signs, killed John the Baptist, and killed the Messiah. In these last days, either humble yourself or stay ignorant. We read in Matthew 11 and verse 25. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm reading verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Those doing what he directs by seeking righteousness are faithful and get more by living on the narrow way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, I'm reading verses 6 to 11. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Verse 7. Ask it, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8. For everyone that asketh receives, and he that seeks findeth. And to them that knock, it shall be opened. Verse 9. Of what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Verse 10. If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? God is no respecter of persons, but he's not handing out great pearls of wisdom to everyone. It is rare to find anyone today who is speaking the truth consistently. Even church people do not know what God is saying, and some even think God is not speaking. Anytime you come to the conclusion that God is not speaking, you are deceiving yourself. If you are spiritual, you hear and can test everything. Those who cannot hear do not test properly what they hear, because they are not relying on the Holy Spirit. They do not test what they hear from prophets, their own pastors, and formally educated church leaders, because what they hear makes sense to their minds. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15, But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. The message today has not changed since the day of Pentecost. If you cannot hear God for yourself, repent. You may be born again, but you have not changed operating systems. You do not just repent of the fruit. You repent of all dead works that come from a life of thinking. This is good news for those who want to save themselves. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 27, My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. You may be part of a Christian organization, but that doesn't make you a Christian. Jesus said in Luke 13, verses 18 and 19. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, starting in verse 18. Then said he, Unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? Verse 19. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. A Christian is somebody who hears his voice, has a personal relationship with Christ, and follows him on a daily basis by denying self. The kingdom has been here since the day of Pentecost. And everyone has had the same opportunity to hear the Lord. do the works he planned with the help of the Holy Spirit and overcome the flesh. Jesus is coming again, now to establish his kingdom. But what will he find? Jesus said in Luke 18, verses 7 and 8, I'm reading. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, starting in verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry every day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Many are listening more to the news and views of others in this world than they do to the Holy Spirit, because their treasure is here on this earth. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Some born-again believers are even on the streets protesting for issues based on rights and wrongs, but never ask God if they should do so. They also spent little or no time preaching the gospel. If they do preach, they cannot preach the true gospel based on the lordship of Jesus Christ, because they've not entered the kingdom themselves. Examine yourselves first to see if you are led by the Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. We are in the last days, and those who are on the broad way will end up being condemned with the world. We read in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 5. I'm reading. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm starting in verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. Verse 2. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse 3. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Verse 4. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. Verse 5. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of the city, shake off the dust from your feet for a testimony against them. True disciples do not come with a message of prosperity and material gain. A true disciple will demonstrate how God provides as you follow Christ and tell you how to listen and obey his voice personally. I often heard one pastor tell his congregation frequently that some Christians are so heavenly minded they're of no earthly use. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 to 6, I'm reading. This is Colossians chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. The word mortify in Strong's is number 3499. It comes from another word which means to deaden, that is figuratively to subdue, to be dead or to mortify. You can never be heavenly minded enough. Your carnal members, good and bad, need to be killed or deadened. The things of this world should grow ever dim if you are following Christ. The stress that's coming on this world should not cause any reaction in you if you are a lively stone. We read in Numbers chapter 21. I'm reading verses 4 to 9. This is Numbers chapter 21, starting in verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Verse 5. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looks up upon it, shall live. Verse 9. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Egypt was the richest nation on the earth at the time of Moses because of Joseph, the son of Jacob. Joseph wanted to see God's perfect will being done in his life. His brothers sold him as a slave. He was tempted to sin, wrongly accused, and forgotten about in prison. Despite all this, the Lord saved Egypt and his own family through him. Joseph's ability to hear God helped Egypt get through a worldwide famine while other nations perished. The Jews became comfortable after Joseph died and were unwilling to pay the price to hear God for themselves. God, through Moses, took the Israelites into the wilderness to learn to trust and obey, but they complained. Now they were told to look up rather than look down when fiery serpents came crawling into their tents. Everyone bitten had to come to the place where Moses stood and look up. Many things that are coming on the world right now are like fiery serpents, but God is still in control, so you need to look up. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verses 26 to 28, I'm reading. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, starting in verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. We are told to look up now when things start to happen. The first resurrection comes before the second coming of Christ. If God wants you to listen to or see something that is in this world, he will direct you to it by the Spirit. You will not be fearful. You'll be able to stay in dialogue with him clearly, in perfect peace. When you ask him, he will tell you why he showed you that situation. But in the meantime, you keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, For we walk by faith, not by sight. Treat the things of this world very lightly, and do not hold on to them. You cannot take anything with you when you die. You should be following Christ and getting ready to leave this world. If you have your security in this world, remember what happened to Lot's wife. Jesus said in Luke 17, verses 31 to 37, This is Luke 17. I'm starting in verse 31. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Verse 33. Whosoever seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Verse 34, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Verse 35, two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Verse 36. Two men shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Verse 37. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Many are dying spiritually, and the eagles are already gathering. The devil is like the roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Make sure you are growing spiritually, and have the fruit of the Spirit instead. James said in James chapter 1, verse 21, Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. We have a covenant based on better promises, but you still have to receive the word with meekness and live controlled by the Spirit. We read in John chapter 1, verse 17, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Use the grace and truth now to change and repent and remove the axes of sin, or you will run out of time. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm reading verses 8 all the way to verse 10. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Jesus will come when everyone least expects, and they will not be able to get ready at the last minute. You have to be ready through repentance and ready to lose things in this world for following Christ. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9, I'm reading. This is Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. There is a belief that all those who are born again will be ready for his appearing. However, Jesus said in Revelation chapter 22, I'm reading verses 12 to 17. This is Revelation chapter 22, starting in verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Verse 13. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Verse 15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and makes a lie. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So many prefer to believe lies about the first resurrection, because they will not deal with their own flesh. Deny yourselves and repent of doing dead works. There are only three groups of people that will be ready. Number one, the bride, who are in love with him and keep his commandments. Number two, those who have ears to hear and obey his voice consistently. Number three, those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Those who believe they are righteous just because they're born again will be left behind. Those trusting in the finished work of Christ will be left behind too. Those seeking righteousness understand there are no excuses for sin, and with God all things are possible. John said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. This is 1 John chapter 3, I'm starting in verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous. Verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Those looking after their own interests on this earth are busy thinking and anxious, but not listening to God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, I'm reading verses 1 to 4. This is Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but on every man also on the things of others. Do not try to do anything in the flesh. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Actually, you can do nothing without abiding in Christ. Jesus said in John 15, verses 4 to 8, I'm reading. This is John 15, starting in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, and you are the branches, and he that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. You have to strive to abide in Christ. In the beginning you may be in and out of the presence of God, and you are not growing, but a foundation needs to be laid properly first. You might hear about others going to conferences and great seminars and acquiring knowledge of the written word. However, keep in mind, those still making excuse for sin and temptation will perish. Those who overcome get eternal salvation. The priority is to repent of whatever gets you out of Christ and in the flesh. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 15 to 17. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Verse 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Spiritual learning comes from obeying the truth. Paul authorized Timothy to share Paul's experiences of how he was able to overcome everyday situations without getting in the flesh. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. This is Galatians chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Verse 5. He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. You grow spiritually by hearing and obeying the Spirit with different levels of pressure. This is uncomfortable, especially at the beginning. The law itself is spiritual and designed to convict those who are not spiritual. The law was given to the Jews so that they could repent and save themselves by faith in God's grace and mercy. The keeping of the law was not a way to be justified in the sight of God. He can drop his thoughts into your mind by grace based on the written word. We read in Psalms 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I'm God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. Those who have entered the rest believe and do not doubt his ability to provide. When God finally exalts himself, there will be no more grace. The day of no repentance is coming on the earth very soon. If you are easily tempted to do something out of your own mind, then you have not entered into God's rest. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. This is Hebrews chapter 4. I'm reading verse 9. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Jesus is our example. Paul continued in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 4. I'm reading verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus entrusted himself to the Father completely. He laid aside his majesty to do the Father's will. He had 1,000 angels and all authority and power from the Father. But he gave that all up just to give us such a great salvation that was also part of the Father's will. Paul continued in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, I'm reading. This is Philippians chapter 2, I'm starting in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name, which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus called himself the Son of Man, because he operated as the Father preordained and brought glory to God. He could have sinned, but Jesus' life brought glory to God, even though he suffered and died on the cross. Jesus did not once consult his own mind. Jesus said in John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. You can live like this too. This verse describes the operating system of those who live in the kingdom of God now by the Spirit. It may seem impossible because there are so many decisions to be made. The devil is trying to make the world go faster. Do not be intimidated by this world. If you cannot hear at the same speed at which your life is moving, then you have to go slowly and learn to walk in the Spirit and walk in God's timing. He knows what is going to happen beforehand. So learn to trust and obey. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." If you believe you can do what you want and still be saved, you are believing lies. His kingdom is here now, and you have enough time to learn obedience and get ready. If you are born again, start by denying yourself and recognize that you belong to Him. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 to 26, I'm reading. This is Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 24. "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Verse 25. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Verse 26. "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Walking in the Spirit is making decisions without using your carnal mind. You need to hear from the Lord and then act as you have been directed. Do not emphasize vain acts of ministry instead. God can speak through a donkey. Learn to hear God and be directed in the small things first. We were designed to hear the word of truth as the pressure increases and not get angry. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 20, "For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God." In God's school, you have to be a doers of the word first. James also said in James chapter 1, verse 22, "But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." God is not going to give you a new lesson that you will learn the old one. To pass God's test of pressure, you need a mirror as well to examine yourself. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Use the mirror to see if you can still smile while doing what God asks you to do. If you can rejoice, these trials will pass because you've learned the lesson God is giving you. James continued in James chapter 1, verses 23 to 27. I'm reading. This is James chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 23. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." Verse 24. "For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was." Verse 25. "But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Verse 26. "If any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his own tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Verse 27. "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Check you can rejoice, but also check that the Holy Spirit is in charge of your tongue. You should only say what He tells you to say. You cannot be faithful if you compromise on truth. So keep yourself unspotted from this world. There are not many tasks left that have not already been corrupted in the church today. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, this is Romans chapter 12, I'm reading verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Jesus emptied himself. He was a perfect expression of the Father. Not all those following Jesus understood that Jesus is the true and living stone, doing the will of the Father. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 14, and verses 8, and reading to verse 11. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14, starting in verse 8. "Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be sufficient for us." Verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, Show us the Father? Verse 10. Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Jesus is the living stone because he never did his own will. Jesus was alive through his connection to God. He was functioning as every human being was supposed to function. But the Jews did not understand this either. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 16 to 27. This is John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Verse 17. But Jesus answered and said, My Father worketh here too, and I also work. Verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soweth he does, these also does the Son likewise. Verse 20. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Verse 21. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. Verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Verse 23. That all men should honour the Son, even as they honour the Father. And he that honours not the Son, honours not the Father, which hath sent him. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that has sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Verse 27. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he's the Son of Man. Jesus now is the Son of Man and the Son of God. He can represent both sides. He is the mediator between God and those who have a heart after God. He is not a mediator for those making excuses for sin. He died on the cross and never sinned. He did not compromise on doing the will of God, and because of that, he's qualified to judge. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 to 31. This is Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Verse 31. Because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. Jesus proved that he could overcome temptation, sin, and the devil, and please God all through the Holy Spirit. You can do the same. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 28 to 30, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, starting in verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30. I and my Father are one. Jesus gave us eternal life so that we could hear his voice. No man can pluck those using the gift of eternal life out of the hand of Jesus and the Father on the narrow way. This gift is the privilege to know the Father and the Son. We read in John chapter 17 and verse 3, "And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." There is no protection if you go back to your mind and start being Lord of your own life again. You have to learn to trust and obey. The old hymn says, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." You do not need to know everything on the narrow way. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 9 to 11. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm reading verse 9. "For we know in part and we prophesy in part." Verse 10. "For when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." Verse 11. "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." Even Paul's best preaching and prophecies were incomplete. If Paul started a Bible school, it would be unpopular with carnal Christians because his curriculum would keep saying incomplete revelation. The perfect is coming, but it's not yet come. If we respond to what God is telling us to do, he will give us more. This is the life of faith. Conviction and truth are a sign that something still needs to be changed. There is always more with God. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 and 31. This is Ephesians chapter 4. I'm starting in verse 30. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Verse 31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." You do not have to wait for things to be perfect to bring an acceptable sacrifice to God. But you do have to humble yourself, hear and obey. Lay aside those things that grieve the Holy Spirit immediately. They will stop you from hearing his voice clearly. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking." The word for laying aside in Strong's is number 659. It comes from other words which means to put away, literally or figuratively. Cast off, lay apart. lay aside or lay down, put away or put off. By faith, like little children, you can put away childish things and grow up spiritually. If you keep using your mind, nothing has been put away. The purpose of growing up spiritually is so that you can put away things we do not need. Trust God and put these things to the side, according to Peter. Noah Webster in 1828 gave the following definitions. Malice is extreme enmity of heart, male violence, a disposition to injure others without cause, from mere personal gratification or from a spirit of revenge, unprovoked malignity or spite. Guile as craft, cunning, artifice, duplicity, deceit, usually in a bad sense. Hypocrisy, a stimulation, a feigning to be what one is not, or dissimulation, a concealment of one's real character or motives. More generally, hypocrisy is simulation or the assuming of a false appearance of virtue or religion, a deceitful show of a good character in morals or religion, a counterfeiting of religion. Envying, as feeling uneasiness at the superior condition and happiness of another. Evil speaking, as slander, defamation, calumny, censoriousness. If God is on your side, why would you be getting angry inside? Look at your fruit. If you are still pretending to be something you're not, you are deceiving others and yourself. Does the fruit in your life say you believe the kingdom is here now and that God is in charge? You may believe, but why do you listen to what the world is doing? We read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. I'm reading Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, starting in verse 23. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Your unbelief is based on some agenda you have here on this earth. If you are born again, you have access to the kingdom of God now through the forgiveness of sins. Those disciples were told to wait for the Holy Spirit and shared with each other in the upper room. Peter and all his disciples were honest and made a record of their vainglorious acts in the gospel accounts. They had nothing to hide. James said in James chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. This is James chapter 5. I'm reading verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. The kingdom of God has been here in great power since the day of Pentecost. God is no respecter of persons. There is enough power, direction, and all grace, but you have to lay aside the things that Peter mentioned. God is not the problem. Jesus promised he would build his church. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 13 to 20, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, starting in verse 13. And when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Verse 15. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Everything directed by the Holy Spirit is perfect in God's eyes because it came from him anyway. Simon experienced the kingdom because he was following Christ, and so were you. It is not enough to be born again. The true church is built on those who hear from the Father and act on what he says, like little children. Jesus wanted his disciples to understand that they were thinking too much at a critical time as he was approaching Jerusalem. When you come to Christ, you are supposed to be broken. Paul continued in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 12 and 13, I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. You will discover what is really important by letting him be functional Lord of your life. He will make changes in your diet, daily activities, and earthly pursuits. He knows all your basic needs, so you need to hear God first. Many Christians find it hard to believe in a life without relying on what they already know. If your mind is renewed, he should be filling your mind now with his thoughts. Start every day being a doer of the truth that you have received by the Spirit. Because the kingdom of God is here now, there are only three things that are essential for life. Number one, faith. This is simply trusting God that he is trustworthy to do what he said he would do. You have to trust and obey, and understanding will come later. Two, hope. Your final destination is not determined until you die or meet Jesus. Your name can be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. As long as you are changing and the Holy Spirit is working on you, you have the hope of salvation and eternal glory. Number three, love. God is pure, so now through obeying his commands, you can save yourself from a lot of heartache and misery and regret. You will never reap anything bad from obeying him. You should have made a decision to obey God before he even tells you what to do, because you believe he will never try you beyond your ability. Peter says we are supposed to be living stones built in a spiritual house. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 10 to 13, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 8, I'm starting in verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You are living the spiritual life if the Holy Spirit tells you what to do, how to do it, and when. Your body should be unresponsive without a spiritual input. Anything else is sin. We read in the book of Isaiah 55. I'm reading verses 1 to 6. This is from the book of Isaiah chapter 55. I'm reading verse 1. Lo, everyone that's thirsty, come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfies not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Verse 4. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Verse 5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that know not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Those who have been broken experience the everlasting covenant based on hearing his voice. God knows what you need. Those on the narrow way do not just call on God when they're in trouble. They incline their ear and are sensitive to him all the time because they know God loves them with a jealous love that is pure and uncontaminated. He wants the best for his children, but not by compromising on holiness. In the Amplified Bible, Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says, seek, inquire for, and require the Lord while he may be found, claiming him by necessity and by right. Call upon him while he is near. On the narrow way, God is always near. You know that he's near because you experience regular conviction. You hear his voice all the time when he's directing you. You are happy even when he corrects you. The word thirsteth in Isaiah 55 in Strong's means to be thirsty, literally or figuratively. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Those on the narrow way are seeking righteousness, not assuming that they are righteous because they're born again. Christianity is not just another religion. It's a relationship with a living God. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 3. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Do not try to humble yourself to enter the kingdom and then go back to thinking. Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom are humble. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3, if so be ye that ye have tasted the Lord is gracious. In the kingdom of God, he does all the thinking because he sees the end from the beginning. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You cannot overcome without being strong in the grace. God will give you grace if you are humble to do what he told you to do. If you start acting under your own authority, then you are no longer submitting to God and you will fail. Only love never fails, and God is love, and that is why his plans never fail. By taking matters into your own hands, you are following the devil and you will become his prisoner. For more information on being a prisoner, please read chapter 6, The Devil's Prison Guards, in the book The Guilty Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Timothy needed to have a proper mental attitude, like an athlete trying to be crowned, before he could pass on the word to others. He had to strive lawfully like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2 to 5, I'm reading. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and starting in verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The word strive in Strong's is number 118. It means to contend in the competitive games. Paul told Timothy to share with other men the examples of what God did for Paul when there seemed to be no way out. He was not trying to pass on just doctrines and teachings. Everyone needs to be soldier-minded and not get entangled in domestic issues. The situations coming on the earth have caused a lot of people to think when they should be listening. We are called to be soldiers, and we should be ready to die anyway. You just need to ask God what he wants you to do and do it. There are no rules. Talk is cheap. What you really believe in your heart is what you do. Pressure is needed to purify your faith. You need ears to hear God's answer, but first rid yourself of the cares of this world. Those following Christ do not cling to the things of the world, but rely on God totally. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to 19. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, starting in verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would rather that thou were cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that thou mayest see. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 12, on page 208, Joseph Hedgecott says, this is the truth. If you are not walking close to where you should be, you are and have been in rebellion. It's a silent rebellion because you actively participate in the ministry, but you will not do what God says. Instead, you choose to listen to Satan and yield yourself to obey him and his lies rather than to obey God and his truth. Ministry works will not save anyone. Unless you are following Christ, you are deceiving yourself and giving a wrong impression to others. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. I'm reading the book of Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. Verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh the saints. Verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The kingdom of God is here now by the Spirit, and no one should be waiting for Jesus to come back to save them from the devil. You should be saving yourselves with the precious promises of God. God has already provided a way of escape for everyone on this earth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 12 and 13, I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. The least person, by listening to God, is a living stone, and is able to function in the kingdom of God now. On a daily basis, you are bringing acceptable and spiritual sacrifices that are the result of being broken. Start now by doing everything by the Spirit. You do not need to see clearly to please God by faith. Those justified by faith are not using their mind to make decisions. The kingdom is here now. However, you have to enter the kingdom now. We are saved by grace through faith. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 12, this is the book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 12, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. Jesus is the living word in the book of Revelation. He is the word of truth that all should respond to as living stones. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 to 14, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. No one is perfect. He will use those who have purged themselves through repentance. If you are resisting the conviction and chastening of the Holy Spirit, you are resisting the Lord. Those who trust and obey will overcome. It is a fight of faith. We are not fighting the devil if we've denied ourselves. Jesus will fight for you because you are broken and submitted to him. Jesus also said in Revelation chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. This is Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 16. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Verse 17. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receives it. Those who have ears to hear and overcome sin get the hidden manna. Trust and obey him, and rely on his provision, and you will be given a white stone. A name will appear in that stone that only you will recognize, because it perfectly describes what God predestined you to be by grace through faith. This is only given to those who make no excuses for sin and do not conform to this world. Let God direct and transform your life. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend the book My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily and experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works, so that you do not have to deny yourself daily and trust God. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. The message today has been about lively stones. We know that all life comes from God, and he is taking care of everything you need. He's provided for everything. All you need to do is trust and obey. There may be problems on the way, but Jesus has gone before you, and he is always making the best choices for your life. He can see the end from the beginning, and you need to let go and let God. Stop leaning to your understanding. Trust him. Learn now to hear his voice. I'm praying for you not to be conformed to this world. And by that I mean that you stop using your mind and listen for what God wants. In the morning, especially listen carefully for any little instructions he tells you to do, and that will prepare you for the day. Let's pray. Father, I'm praying for those who listen to this message, that, Father, that they will believe that they can bring glory to you like lively stones. That, Father, as I've explained the narrow way, trusting you, that they will believe and they will become pleasing to you, doing the works that you have set for them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link on our website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. Please get in touch with me. Love to hear from you. God bless you.